Good evening, everyone. All right, let's take them off. All right, so we're going to start out. We're going to be in two different passages this evening. We're going to start in Proverbs 24. So if you want to turn to Proverbs 24 and then hold your place there, and then we're going to go after that to Proverbs chapter 6. So Proverbs 24, verse 30. Pastor asked me to preach not too long ago, and I was trying to figure out what to do, praying about it and whatnot, and the Lord made it very evident that we would be here, which is great. Kind of lines up with the theme a little bit and what Pastor was talking to us about, the men about at the men's breakfast the other day, so I'm really excited. And it's actually what we're going through in junior church right now, too, so it's just really neat to see the Lord work those things out. And I love that that He gave me that for tonight, so I'm thankful for that. So if you found your spot in Proverbs 24, and if you're able to stand, please join me as we read Proverbs 24, verse 30, and then we'll hop over to Proverbs chapter 6, and we'll read a couple verses there. Proverbs 24, verse 30 says this. It says, I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof. And the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Proverbs 6, starting in verse 6, says this. It says, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. All right, so let's go ahead and have a quick word of prayer, and then we'll hop into it tonight. I want to preach tonight on the idea of getting behind our pastor and how we can help perform in our lives and in here at the church the excellent mindset that pastor wants our church to have. Right, so we'll talk more about that here in a minute. So let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you again for the time that we have, God. And I just pray that you'd be with this effort tonight, God. Just use me, Lord. Just we're thankful to have already read your word. What a blessing, God. Use tonight in a special way, God. Be with the kids as well. Be with our pastor in your way, and be at the church plant. Be with him as he's at the church planners conference, Lord, and just make men and just gather together and raise some money. Thank you, Brother Jacob, and the 30,000 he's able to make, and others. It's a blessing, Lord. Just be with that whole effort tonight. We love you and thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So at the men's breakfast last week, Pastor talked about excellence and how he wanted our church to be excellent, right? And you could almost think that sounds maybe kind of conceited, right? We need to be excellent. But really, if you think about it, what else in life would we rather be excellent at? Or if you go to any business, right, that wants to do well, they would do things with excellence, right? I used to work at Target Distribution in Albany, Oregon, and they did things with excellence. They really did. I mean, things were looking sharp. They had standardization for everything. Everything had a plan. Everything had a purpose. Everything, right? I mean, you go to any place like that, and they take it very seriously because they want to profit and they want to be the best, right? Now, that's retail, right? That's like selling random stuff, okay? But this is like the work of the Lord, right? And the church, God's house, right? So we want to do things in an excellent way, right? Or it's maybe to say it this way. We don't want to give God second best. Growing up, I remember thinking my pastor was a little crazy because he used to say stuff like, man, we got people coming up to me donating their old mowers and old this and that to the church saying, hey, I just got a new mower and I want to give you my old mower. And I thought, well, that's kind of nice. And I'm, you know, but pastor growing up would say, well, why don't they just donate a nicer mower to us? And I'd say, come on, be thankful for what you're getting. But really what he's saying is, why are people so okay with just giving God stuff that's just like, eh, don't need this, don't need that? There's a mindset that kind of goes along with that, you know? And you know, agree or disagree with that aspect, I think it's true, at least, that we can approach how we come to church and how we behave and what we do in a way that's just not excellent. That's not that we're not giving attention to detail. We're kind of offering second best. We're coasting by. It's okay, right? And that's more or less what he was talking to us about. We need to be excellent in what we do. We want people to come into the church building and think, "Wow, this place is sharp. Like there's nothing out of place here," right? That's what we want. Now, I remember when I was an intern at Southwest down in Oklahoma City, a big thing we learned on the grounds team was blowing the curbs, right, with the blower. And I was very adamant about doing that since that point because they look so nice when they're clean, right? Anyone ever see nice, clean curbs? It's wonderful. It looks so nice. Now, no one's probably going to come to our church and see the curbs clean and say, "Man, look at how clean those are." They might not say that because they don't notice, you know, they probably won't notice. But what they won't do is they won't say, "Man, look how dirty those are," because they're dirty, right? So really what it is, it's kind of like you're blameless. Someone would come into the church and they're not able to point out flaws in that way. Are we perfect? No. Is Target perfect? No. Are any of these businesses that really work hard at perfect? No. But the thing is they're trying, right? They're striving. So we want to be able to come in here and look at these tissue boxes and be like, "Is it falling over? Is it twisted?" And you think, "Oh, Mike, you're getting kind of crazy about this." Well, why? If you haven't thought and this is God's house and you see something out of place, like why not get behind our pastor's vision and make it nice? You noticed it. Someone else might notice it. You know, and why not just have this place as prim and proper and excellent as we can, right? So we want to do that, right? So let's kind of approach this a little bit of a different way. I went to the men's advance this past year, and I want to give like a little bit of a recap of that, and because this will help us live in an excellent way. And we'll talk about diligence today and how we can do that this year. So I went to the men's advance this past year, which is already coming up again, which is crazy to think about in April. And there was their whole theme was called this. It was called "Be the Hero, Avoid the Mayhem." It was called "Be the Hero, Avoid the Mayhem." And the picture on their sign or whatever was this, you know, firefighter, and he's, you know, the fire's behind him, and he's got like a kid with him, and you know, he's just this hero, right? And the whole idea, without getting into all the details, was this. True heroes avoid the mayhem. It's really cool to be the guy that's like running out of the fire, right? With a person, you rescued somebody. It's like everyone looks at him and they're like, "That is awesome. Did you see this guy's a hero?" And he is a hero because he did that. But true heroes avoid the mayhem altogether. The fire never happened. That's true heroics. You say, "Well, why is that?" Well, we can equate it to a house fire, but really it's something more like this. The hero is the person that when they're young, they put away money for their retirement or for their family. So then later in life, when they get older, and it's now mayhem because they didn't, and they need money, and they need to retire, and they're getting older, it's crisis mode, and they think, "Well, it's time for me to figure this thing out," and it's like, "I'm going to be the hero, and I'm going to fix this all in 1 week, and I'm going to earn all this money." Like, you're not going to do that. A real hero would have avoided that. They would have seen it beforehand and prevented that from even becoming a crisis, because they would have worked in an excellent way and saw what was coming ahead and planned ahead for it. That's more or less what the theme was about, avoiding that mayhem. And we can relate that to many, many different things, and we're not going to do that tonight. So how can we do that? How can we avoid mayhem like that, and how can we do things in an excellent way? Well, the Bible gives us a few different passages here that talk about it. But before we jump right into that, I also have to lay the groundwork for one more thing, and that's for what is called the Eisenhower Matrix. So I don't know how many of you are familiar with the Eisenhower Matrix. It was popularized by Stephen Covey. He was a businessman, wrote a lot of books, and very smart guy. He authored The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. It's a really good book. And anyway, it's a four quadrant matrix, and each quadrant has a different, say, way of living that will determine whether or not you are efficient as a person, if I could say it that way. So let's break this down. You might even have heard me say Q2 before, or maybe heard Brother Tim say Q1 or something like that. And what we're talking about is this matrix here that helps us live in an efficient way, or tries to help us live in an efficient way. So let's break these quadrants down before we get into it. So quadrant one is this. Quadrant one, okay, so picture like a square box, and up here is quadrant one. It's things that are important and things that are also urgent. things that are important and things that are very urgent. Okay, so for an example, what I write down. So if you need to get gas in your car because it's on empty, right? That's important and it's urgent, especially here in Nebraska and this kind of area as you're driving, right? And there's not a lot of stops, like you're low on gas, like that's important, it's urgent. You need to have gas, right? That's a Q1. It's crisis mode. Q1 is not good. Q2 is where you want to be. This is the ant. This is the Bible, what it talks about in Proverbs 6 here. It's things that are important, but that are not urgent. And this is where we want to live our lives. Doing things that are important, but are not urgent. Like I said, saving up for retirement. It's not urgent for me to, like, retire. Much as I want to get out of Holman's Ford, right? This is not important for me to retire right now. It's important, but it's not urgent. So it's good for me to be putting money away so that I can retire someday from there. Someday soon, right? From Holman's Ford. So that's important, but not quite urgent yet. That's where we want to live our lives in every way. And we'll talk more about that in a minute. Quadrant three, Q3, is going to be not important, but urgent. Now, maybe some of you have done this before. You should be doing something in quadrant two, right, where you're productive and you're doing something you should, but instead you fall into this quadrant of deception, and it sounds something like this. Man, I really need to be working on my sermon for next week. But you know what? I've been meaning to sweep under the sofa for like a long time. I need to do that. I need to clean under the sofa. So you go under the sofa and you vacuum and you clean that up, and you're like, all right, now I'll get to my sermon. You know, I need to get to my sermon, but it's probably really important that I go outside and trim those hedges. That's important right now. And you think, those things are not important, right? They're not important right now that we'd be doing those things. But has anyone ever done that before when you know you have something very profitable that you should be doing, but you somehow convince yourself that there's something more important that you need to do, and you do it, and you spend your whole day doing things, and you're like, look how much stuff I did, but none of them are very important. And then the one important thing you should have done didn't happen. Please say I'm not the only one, right? I think we've all been there, and we've deceived ourselves into thinking we were productive and we weren't, right? We don't want to live our lives in that quadrant either. And then quadrant four would be things that are not important, and also not urgent. So that's waste. The quadrant of waste. It's called scrolling Facebook. It's not important. It's not urgent. Watching TV is not important, and it's not urgent. Brother Mike, you don't do those things. I'm not saying I don't do those things, but I'm not going to debate that they're important or that they're urgent. They're just not. They are wasteful things, right? So that's kind of how that is. Now let's take this mindset, right, this that we want to be like the ant, and we want to prepare ahead of time for things that are important and not urgent. That's how we want to live our lives. Proverbs 6 says this, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide or overseer or ruler, provideth her meat in summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. So God humbles us by causing us to look down at the little ant and say, for those of you who want to truly live an efficient, effective, godly life, look down. Look down at that little bitty insect that really, I don't know what he's made for other than this very thing. To just show us that, like clockwork, they always prepare ahead of time. Like, you don't see an ant just like, I'm not going to do it this time. Like, they're built that way. They prepare ahead of time. They prepare their food ahead of time, so when there's not food later, they have food. How many of us have ever not prepared, and now we're in a crisis mode, right? I didn't do X, Y, Z like I should have, and now this is here, and I don't have the money, or I don't have the time, or fill in the blank, right? We've all been there. So, how can we relate this to what we ought to be doing here as a church? Well, let's look at Proverbs 24. And this is where we're going to get into the crux of our message here. Proverbs 24, verse 30 says this, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. Now, I just had a quick thought here. It's funny. I heard the other day, I wasn't in here for the message, but Brother Tim keeps saying that Pastor not too long ago was calling all of us pieces of cardboard in here. Or something like that, right? You're all a bunch of pieces of cardboard, right? And I back my pastor whenever he says behind this pulpit, I completely agree. If he says I'm a piece of cardboard, I'm like, amen, I'm a piece of cardboard for Christ, right? That's me, right? I am, and he's right in saying that. But I just had the thought here. It's like, I went by the field of the slothful, and I just want to say, you're all slothful in here, right? Right? And I'm not saying that. This is the Bible saying. Let's say it this way. I think all of us have the propensity to be slothful for times. Let's just say it that way. Maybe I'll get to the point where, I can just point a finger and say it like that. It says here, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all overgrown with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well, and I looked upon it, and I received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. The slothful man, right? God calls us to be like the ant, to look down at the ant. But here we have a passage of a man who goes by a vineyard of a man who's slothful. It says, I went by the field of the slothful, by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And picture with me someone looking at this field, this vineyard, and this this wall, right? This big strong wall, right? And you go by this field and you see a really big strong wall and you're like, wow, this looks great. And it's clean and there's no nettles, there's no thorns, it looks really nice, right? You would probably think to yourself, this looks great. It looks like whoever lives here, whoever's wall this is, must take care of it. It looks very, very clean. Very nice. Just like someone walk into the church and be like, wow, look at this. It looks very nice. Now, if you go to a wall that's all broken down and has thorns over it and nettles and weeds, right? Anyone like pulling weeds? Like, no, right? If you see all those things, you would probably think, man, does somebody live here? I hope not. Their wall is trashed. It's broken. And just look at it. It's terrible. And you would maybe think, like, this person, if someone does live here, they must not care very much about this wall because, I mean, look at the condition of it. And I think we've all been in areas, places like that in our own lives, right? I'm not trying to point fingers at anyone and be like, if your house isn't spick and span, then, you know, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, for sake of illustration, he went by this field and saw this wall, this vineyard broken down, and he saw thorns and nettles all over it. And it just kind of begs the question, like, wow, what happened? We could say it this way. This person probably isn't diligent. This person isn't diligent to take care of what he has. If you saw a nice clean wall without any vines on it, you would say this person's very diligent because to keep something that nice, you must be working at it every day. Anyone ever drive by someone that has a nice garden or anything like that, nice flowers, and you think that takes a lot of work to make it look that way? Absolutely. Like, you know that person's probably very diligent. They're doing that every single day. They're going out there and doing that. It's diligence. But it says here, I went by the field of the slothful and by the man void of understanding, and it was all overgrown with thorns and nettles had broken down. It is broken down. And it says here, this man says, I saw it and I considered it well and I took instruction. Like, I learned something about this wall. And he says this, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. Right? So he's essentially saying this. This person has made a choice resulting in the look of this vineyard and this wall. And their choice was, rather than being diligent and rather than working hard, I am going to choose to be lazy, or I'm going to choose to spend a little bit of extra sleep, right? A little folding of the hands to sleep. I'm going to choose to neglect this and instead do something more slothful, something more selfish, something more pleasing to me. I'm going to sleep instead, or we could call that whatever we want. I'm going to sit there and scroll instead, or I'm going to do something else instead. Point being this, you're not diligent to work at this wall. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth. Now think about that ant again, right? Think about that ant who gathers ahead of time and has what they need. But for the slothful man who chooses not to, who doesn't want to be diligent, he doesn't have what he needs. And a wall is supposed to be like, well, what's a wall supposed to do? Well, it's a barrier. It's supposed to keep people out, right? That's what it's meant for. But now if this thing's broken down, it's not even effective. It's dirty, it's overgrown, it's broken down, it's not effective. There's nothing good about it. Because this person is choosing, rather than waking up and working hard and being diligent like the ant, they're choosing to be slothful and instead just do whatever they want to do and just kind of like, and we'll get to it. And it's a terrible testimony, right? It's a really harsh testimony to see something like that and then just to think like, man, look at this wall. It's terrible. It's not effective. There's nothing good about it. Now, what can we do? Right? And we were talking to the kids about this. You know, we can focus on building walls in our lives. And I challenged the kids this last week to build a wall of kindness, right? To be diligent, to build a wall of kindness. And we used the blocks down there. It was great. You know, and I said, if you say a kind word, it's like you're building blocks. Every day, say something kind, and it's like you're making this nice wall. But as soon as you stop being kind and just forget about it and don't work at doing it, it starts to break down a little bit. It's not there, you know? We can have all these different kinds of walls in our lives. But what about us here as adults in the church? What kind of wall can we build? Well, for one, our pastor has said from, you know, behind this pulpit, like for this next year, we want to glory in God and getting to know God. And we want to do things in an excellent way. We want people to know that when they come here, we worship Jehovah God and that we serve Him with excellence, that we do things in an excellent way. That's going to take diligence. That's going to take like effort time and time again. That's going to take like planning ahead. So, you know, we had a staff meeting not too long ago, and Pastor's vision's great, right? We're trying to look a couple months ahead of time, a year ahead of time, and get things planned out and think, man, that's a lot of planning and stuff like that. Well, yeah, it sure is, because we don't want to be in a crisis here at this church. We don't want a guest to come even for the dessert auction, and then they walk in and we're running around like chickens with their heads cut off, like, well, where's the paddles, or where's this, or where's that? Well, I don't know, we waited to the last minute again, you know, and people are thinking like, man, this church is crazy. They just don't have their act together, right? Like, no, as a church, we need to be like, as the people of God serving our holy God, we need to be like, way in this quadrant two thing. We need to like look ahead right now at what's coming up this year, and you know, look at that calendar that you have on your fridge or wherever you have it, the paper one. Look at that thing and say, how can I help with this? Like, okay, it's January right now, but like come summertime, what kind of stuff's gonna be going on here at the church? You know, like let's think about this. Let's get involved. Let's plan ahead a little bit, right? And see how we can help in that way. Because the more time we have, right, the more quality we're going to have in what we do. That's just the way it is. Some of you think, well, I work really good under pressure. It's like, no, you get by under pressure. You will work better when you have more time and you give more effort towards it. Some of you can say, I work better under pressure. What you're saying is you've performed for a long time under pressure. But the issue with that is if you've done that for so long, you probably don't know how to work effectively without pressure anymore. And that's an issue. Because we don't want to constantly live in crisis mode. We've got to work the muscle of pre-planning, working ahead of time. And we can do that in our own personal lives. And I think that's the best way it's going to help our church move forward with pastor's vision, is if we work that muscle in our own lives. So what can we do? Well, there's different ages here, right? Right? Some of us who are up in age, I can't say, well, for the next 40 years, put away for your retirement, right? Can't say that, right? But some of us who are in here and are younger, I'm going to include myself in that category, even though I'm, what am I, 32, Lauren? 32. Pastor's 33, so I'm not quite old yet. He's old. I guess I'm young. So we can put that money away now, right? Like it's something we could do to to do that. Or right now, I can try to instill into my kids who God is through a strong walk with Him myself, and through quality time with them, and talking to them, and bowing a knee and getting on their level and spending time with them and not just saying, nope, not right now, not right now, not right now. That's something I can work at. Is that instantly gratifying? Not all the time. Sometimes I'd love to be like, I'm really busy right now. And I just don't, sorry everyone. But sometimes with my kids, I'm just like, I don't want you right now. You know, but at the same time, is if it's not instantly gratifying or whatever, what's it going to do for them down the road? How does that help their development? Well, it helps a lot. Because it's going to be crisis mode when Graylin's now 17, 18, and she's all thinking stuff about people and boys and whatever else. And then I want to say, now, Graylin, I want you to listen to me for a second. And she's going to go, well, why would I listen to you? Why would I want anything to do with you? And you're like, well, because I'm your dad. It's like, well, yeah, but you didn't spend any kind of time listening to me before. And now you're trying to like come in here and solve this for me. It's like, no, like we got to start early. That's the thing. We got to act early. And it's great because it's 2025. Like we just started the new year. But like the things we need to work on for the church this year are not going to be things that are instantly gratifying. So let's like turn off the American society, instant gratification, have it your way right now, Amazon, same day kind of thing. And let's like figure out how we can look ahead and see what we can do to properly, with quality and excellence, figure some things out around here, right? And Pastor's going to be great about it. He's going to come up here and he's going to be like, hey, we got this come up in a few weeks and we're going to have sign-up sheets and we're going to have all this kind of stuff, right? And just, I hope that you see that, not just as like, oh, Pastor just likes sign-up sheets. I hope you see it as an effort to start early so that quality can go up. So that when people come in, they say, man, this is sharp. For this little church here of 40, 50 people, they really care. Like that wall that they've built, there's no thorns there. There's no nettles. There's no weeds. It looks nice and strong, and they take care of it. They're not slothful. They're like the ant. They're preparing ahead of time. There's no crisis here. It's very well thought out and pre-planned. Why are you going through all that effort? Why would you do all that? Because we make a lot of money here at Valley Avenue Baptist Church. No, please, that's a joke, everyone. For no one heard, we don't make a lot of money here at Valley Avenue Baptist Church. Our pastor's not rolling in dough. He's not. That's just, he doesn't do it for that. None of us do it for that. We do it because there's no higher calling than to serve Almighty God. So why constantly serve Him in a state of a crisis and act like we're heroes because we finished this thing, the dessert auction was great, or this was great, but like every time we do something, if it's just like this jumbled mess that just kind of works out, it's like we're offering God second best. Really, is that what we're offering to God? This hodgepodge of stuff? Like, here you go. Like no. And thank God we've got a pastor with a vision to plan ahead and give us as a church an opportunity to like get behind him with time. That's huge. We could have a pastor up here who's like, oh yeah, this thing's happening tomorrow. Anyone want to do anything? Has he never done that before? Like, no, we've had that before. And I've been straight guilty of that. Not being there for him like I should have been. And stuff wasn't effective as it could have been. But Lord's speaking to our pastor. And he's saying, this year, if we're going to glory in God and glory in knowing him, and we're going to do things excellently as a church, we just started the year, let's do this thing. Yep. And the way that we're going to do that is if, as individuals in our lives, right? I'm telling you, take this home with you, like yourself, and practice this. How can you, in your own life, wherever you're at right now, practice pre-planning? Quadrant two, things that are important, but things that are not urgent. Practice things that are important, things that are not urgent. And you think, well, is that just some fancy thing that Dwight Eisenhower made up? Like, no, that's Bible. That's the ant who prepares now, which is very important, but doesn't need to necessarily because they don't need the food right now, so it's not urgent. God's saying, look down. It's important, but it's not urgent. That's how you ought to live your lives. So, well, what can I do then? Well, like I said, I talked about kids, I talked about finances, whatever it might be, whatever it is in your life that you can work that muscle. Let me say this: how about in your marriage? You say, has anyone's marriage ever been in like a crisis mode before? Yeah. How does it get in a crisis? Like, well, what didn't you do? What didn't you do ahead of time that could have avoided that? Like, are you just not spending that time with your spouse? Are you not engaging enough? Like, what's going on here? Well, something you could do to practice that is like, well, maybe you could go home and you could write a note for your wife. You could plan to do that. I'm gonna write a note for my wife, and then I'm gonna wait a few days and I'm gonna read it again, maybe change it up a little bit, make sure it's real nice, and then on Thursday, today's Wednesday, let's push it back a little bit. On Monday, next Monday, right? I'm gonna give it to her. I'm gonna put it on her bedside or something like that. And well, it's not urgent because you're not in crisis mode. Your wife's not just like, you never say anything nice, right? If you're right now, you're kind of coasting okay, like, great, good. Let's do something that's not super urgent. You know, how terrible is it when your wife or your spouse is just like, man, I'm having a hard time. We're just two ships sailing. It's just not, you know, it's crisis mode. And then you're like, oh, I love you. And here's flowers. And it just, I mean, right? I've never been there. I guess the flowers mean something, but only when there's a fight. I mean, what if we did it beforehand? Okay, it's a master plan here, little marriage master class, if you will. Okay, what if beforehand, before we argued, we wrote something for our spouse, and then gave it to her, and then maybe she'd read it and say, she might be shocked. What is this? You know, what did I do? What do you want? You know, hopefully we can get out of that position. But maybe they'll look at it and just find it as a kind gesture because you love her. And what does that do? Well, that just avoids the crisis. That's a true hero. That's a true hero husband or a true hero wife that looks ahead and sees that there could be an issue but plans when it's not urgent But it's still something that's very important. We can do that in our marriage. And there's so many areas we can do that in our lives. But suffice to say, as we wrap it up here soon, thinking about 2025 at Valley Avenue Baptist Church, you can help our pastor, you can help our mission here of glorying in God and having the lost come in and see just a wonderful, strong wall that's nice and clean and clearly someone diligent lives here. You can help that situation yourself by going home tonight and just practicing this biblical principle here, looking at the ant in a different way from now on and saying, man, I need to be more like that. In what ways could I be more prepared? In which ways could I look ahead and start planning for my future? Right? Some of us in here are young, some of us in here are even younger, like Robbie and our folks in the back, right? You think, man, what could I do right now to really start planning for my future? And unfortunately, at that age, you're just not thinking about it the same way we are at this age. But what if, as an adult in here, you helped encourage a young person in that, and you said, hey, you know, learn from my mistakes. Learn from the things that I didn't do. And then as a young person, learn from those things. There was a man back in Oregon, I feel so bad. He's a wonderful man. He has a lot of money, right? But I say that for this reason, because he worked a lot. And to his working, he neglected his family. And he's very well off now, but if you asked him, he'd much rather have a stronger relationship with his family. And he said this to me plenty of times. He'd just come up to me and be like, you know, I don't have a relationship with my daughter the way that I want to. And he'd just say, don't work too much, you know, don't do this too much, you know. And I just remember thinking, like, these are the things that everyone in here that's, like, look up here, like, if you're young in here too, these are the things that if Brother Tim or someone comes up to you and says, like, hey, just listen, you know, and take that in and don't make those same mistakes, you know. We have, all of us in here, a certain amount of time. Some of us longer than others, right? With the time that you have now, if you find yourself in a crisis, go to God and prepare as much as you can and just go to God. He's merciful. He's gracious. He's loving. It's wonderful. Those of us who have a little bit longer time, learn from those, the mistakes of others and the lessons that can be taught from those of us around here and start planning. And as church members, I can't say this enough, just get behind the man of God. Get behind Pastor Chad Berry. Support him. Support Miss Chelsea and the girls. Get behind the vision. He's doing everything he can to make sure that we glory in God this year and that the lost come in here and see a church that really just has a strong relationship with God, a nice strong wall of a vineyard that's nice and clean and diligent and taken care of. That is his vision. He's setting it in motion. He's following God. He's doing all these things. And as God's church, if we can in our own lives believe the principle that if we would start earlier and work diligently and just stop with a little bit of extra slumber and a little bit of laziness and a little bit of scrolling in Q4 and a little bit of deception, and we just understand that I can do things that are important and not urgent, and I can start to shape my life in a way that's beneficial. Again, not instantly gratifying. None of this is going to be awesome right away, but looking for the long term. If we can do that, man, imagine 2026. Imagine what an awesome recap of the year that would be, right? Just seeing all these events that have happened and the loss coming in and people just looking at the church and saying, man, this place doesn't miss a beat. They do great here. Well, why is that? Does it just happen? No, it doesn't just happen. Because there's four quadrants we could live in. We could be in crisis mode. We can be effective and pre-plan. We can deceive ourselves or we can waste time. And the choice is up to you. And if you think, well, I don't know how to live that way or I don't know what I should do, God says, great, let me humble you. Look down. Look down at the ant and watch what the ant does. And you're not going to see it sitting there with its legs crossed chilling, right? You're not going to see an ant do that. If you do, let me know. I'd love to see that. You're not going to see that. You're going to see it working hard every single time. And God says you need to be like that. You need to be a church that does that. We need to be like a church that does that. Like all of us. We're like looking ahead and we're working hard and we're planning. We're behind our pastor. Things are looking sharp. We're doing this. Doesn't that just sound right? Doesn't that just sound appropriate to our God and our service for him, for what he's done for us? It just sounds so anti-societal too, though. doesn't it? You should have what you want, when you want it, right now. Just relax, and the government will take care of you. Or whoever else will take care of you. Let's just do that. Like, no, no, we can't. We can't do that. Folks walk in this church, they need to know that we are a bunch of ants in here. We're a bunch of folks that have to prepare ahead of time and work hard and are diligent for Him because He's worth it. Again, I'll just end with saying this. It says, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And it was all overgrown with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it, and I received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. We don't want to be the church, right? We don't want to be the people of God, where someone comes in here and they just see, and our testimony is that of just, look what they have. It's not taken care of. It's just, it's slothful. We don't want to be the slothful church. We want to be an excellent church, a church of excellence, a church that understands who God is, that we glory in Him as we get to know Him more and more. And then when we really get to know who He is, our service relates exactly that way. It's a complete reflection on how we know God. It's how we serve Him and what we do. And if you say, well, I don't care to serve Him, or I don't, the ant, like I get all that, but I just don't have the motivation. That's what this year is about, all about. Getting to know God, truly glorying in Him comes from knowing Him. And when you know Him, you're going to glory in Him with your life. And that's just how it is. So let's go ahead and pray real quick, and then we'll be done. Lord, thank You for this evening. Thank You for the time that we have to open Your Word. And I'm just so thankful for the theme this year, and I'm thankful for our pastor. Truly, I am. I'm thankful that the vision that You've given him, Lord, and I'm just thankful for every time I read a scripture like this. It's just, they're all just wonderful, and they're so helpful, and they're so true. And I'm so glad that we live and have the Word of God. And Lord, there's so many, even here in Falls City, that just don't believe in You or don't want anything to do with You, God. And many who have walked through these doors and walked out for various reasons, God. But we don't want anyone to ever walk in here and leave because we weren't doing our very best to serve You, God, or just doing things with excellence, God. Help us not to be lazy. Help us not to be slothful, God. We're tired. It's hard. I get it. I know, Lord. I know. Just help us today. Help us this week, this month, just to practice things like the ant. How can I look ahead? How can I be prepared? Help us to do that. Help us to make that decision tonight, God, as we have time of invitation here in a minute. God, help us. Maybe You pointed something out to us, something we can do for our marriage or our futures or for our church, a way we can plan ahead of time and help out and be prepared and have quality and avoid the urgency and the crisis. Help us to make those commitments tonight, Lord. Thank You for Your love and thank You for Your goodness. I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. We'll go ahead and stand, and we'll have a quick time of invitation here, just a couple verses.